Sports Boulevard. Stop on in. Great show planned for you tonight. We'll take you all the way up until 7 o'clock. And we anticipate some great high school football action coming your way at that point tonight on 1600 AM. We've got West Delaware at Marion. And then on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5, Linmar travels to Iowa City West, just down the street from the Coach's Corner. Linmar folks, if you guys are coming down for the game, stop on into Coach's. It's right by West, 749 Mormon Truck Boulevard. Lots to get to today. We're going to be talking National League Championship Series with Bill Plunkett of the Orange County Register. The Dodgers and the Cubs getting ready to get underway tomorrow at a little bit after 7 o'clock Central Time. It'll be Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers, and we'll see. Either John Lackey or Jose Quintana for the Cubs. Doesn't look like Joe Maddon has made a decision yet. Probably going to be Lackey, although Quintana only threw 12 pitches in relief last night. As the Cubs and the Nationals, well, the game was long, but it was certainly entertaining and frustrating and a number of other things for you if you're a baseball fan. Cubs fans were on the edge of their seats. Nationals fans once again have their hearts ripped out, and here we are now. Dodgers and Cubs, along with the Yankees and the Astros. That series gets underway tonight at Minute Maid Park in Houston, and it's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. What's your preferred World Series matchup? We give you the four possibilities at this point, and it's early, but so far one person has registered a vote for the Astros and the Dodgers, which, for the record, I think is probably the most likely World Series pairing at this point. The Cubs are just, they're decimated after this five-game series, pitching-wise. And last night, Joe Maddon didn't want to use Jose Quintana. He was hoping that the bullpen was going to be able to get him through to the end, but unfortunately, Carl Edwards Jr., Mike Montgomery, those guys didn't get it done. Wade Davis has to come in for a seven-out save. You saw so much stuff last night. Alex, I want to get your opinion on this because as someone who's not a Cubs fan, you were not living and dying with every pitch last night the way that a lot of people, myself included, I don't know how I made it through the game last night. I finally got into the liquor cabinet at about in the eighth inning. I cannot take this anymore. I need a little something to take the edge off. But as somebody who was impartial watching that game last night, A, were you entertained? And B, I just want to know what you think of some of the absolutely insane things that we saw last night. You can watch a baseball game for a really long time and not see the sequence of events that we saw in the fifth inning.
Todd, remember when we were talking about LeVar Ball and saying that his storyline, it's so bad, but you can't look away?
That was that game for you last night?
And not necessarily all bad, because there were some amazing things, some amazing performances in that game. Wade Davis deserves all the credit, and Joe Maddon was going to stick with him, win or lose. I don't think there's any question about that. You cannot lose with Justin Wilson or John Lackey on the mound, so you got to give credit to Wade Davis for his seven-out performance. But one fiasco after another. It was the fifth inning for the Washington Nationals. There were a couple of ambiguous calls as far as replay goes. The pitching was really struggled. I thought both managers had their moments last night.
That's putting it kindly, I
yes.
think, especially for Joe Maddon, who, had the Cubs lost that game last night, would be under an intense microscope today in Chicago.
Absolutely. And a couple of, let's just call them rules, that were left up to interpretation came to fruition last night, and there was a lot of confusion. So there was a lot of entertaining factors to that game, to the point where I just couldn't turn it off. It got into the four-hour range and 4.5 hours, and the last two innings lasted about an hour and a half, it seemed. And that was a five-hour game, and as much as I wanted to just go to sleep, I couldn't. So I guess Major League Baseball, at the end, they were the ones reaping the benefits of this game.
Your thoughts, if you watched the game last night, on the role that replay played. 319-366-1600, eighth inning, Jose Lobaton, who's the backup catcher for the Nationals, picked off first base by Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras. He threw down to Anthony Rizzo. Original call on the field was that Lobaton was safe, had gotten back into first base. They took a look at it on replay. I didn't think it was conclusive that Anthony Rizzo was still making contact with him. He does come off the base, or appear to. Now, there are some people out there that say maybe his pant leg was still dangling down. I mean, it is a split second, and I credit Ron Darling on the TBS broadcast last night who saw this as it happened and said, hey, we may have an instance where replay is going to be used here because it looks like Lobaton came off the bag a little bit. I've got a hard time in my lifetime as a baseball fan thinking back to I was 5 years old when George Orta and Todd Worrell were at first base in the 1985 World Series. But from that blown call to a world where you can take a look at something as minuscule as did you come off the bag for a split second, I don't necessarily like the fact that replay played such a huge role in the outcome of the game last night. And that's as a Cubs fan, and the Cubs benefited from it. But I think you're going to see a lot of people discussing replay and its role moving forward, and especially when you talk about the length of games. Because, look, I don't think you can make pace of play such a major issue during the regular season and then try to double down in the postseason, where these are the games that really truly matter, and managers are putting a great deal of thought into every decision that they make, every pitching change, every matchup. Of course, there's going to be a little added length to the games. And then when you score a combined 17 runs, that's going to add a lot of time to the clock too, so to speak, in a sport where there is no clock. But I see a lot of people complaining about how long that game took last night. Were you not entertained? 319-366-1600. As a baseball fan, 5-6 hours, it was just back and forth. I don't think until, was it Ryan Madsen who came in the eighth and got a 1-2-3 clean inning?
Or was it Madsen or was it Sean Doolittle? I'm trying to think.
Well, I think
Madsen got the first
clean inning, I think, of almost the entire game. And look, lots of things go. Max Scherzer comes in relief, and he's got the lead, and Scherzer winds up blowing it. There was so much to unpack from that game last night, but you can hear we've got a little bit of Joe Maddon and Dusty Baker from last night, and you can hear, obviously, from these clips, which manager won and which manager lost. But I want to get to Joe Maddon first and listen to Joe Maddon, a guy who's been around the game of baseball. Both of these guys have been around the game of baseball a really long time, but you can hear it in Joe Maddon's voice, and he basically comes out and flat out says that he's not sure if he's ever been involved with a game like last night, especially one in which he came out on the winning end.
Well, you know, just watching the game progress, we needed to chip away, and we did. And then once we got in the bullpen, I thought anything was possible. We just had to hold them. I mean, that was the big thing. How do you hold them? I did not want to use Q early. I thought that, like I said before the game, the normal means, the regular bullpen guys are rested, so give them the first crack. And I felt really, actually very strongly about that. Dunsing got through it. I mean, I was really counting on more outs out of Montgomery, quite frankly. It didn't happen, so you just got to move on the conga line at that point. I thought six, not seven out of Wade, but like I said, what's the difference between six and seven? So give the boys credit, man. That's one of the most incredible victories I've ever been part of. I know a lot of people are probably saying the same thing, but under the circumstances in the other team's ballpark after a tough loss at home, to come back and do that, give our guys all the credit in the world.
Okay, what's the difference between 6 and 7 with Wade Davis last night? When I heard him say that after the game, I about lost it, because that was a huge gamble on
that is
the part
a huge difference.
Of Joe Maddon, especially the way that, you know, Davis had been invincible almost all season, and then toward the tail end, he started to show a little bit of vulnerability. And you go back to how Joe Maddon used Aroldis Chapman last year, during the postseason, and you see it again with Wade Davis. I think the biggest argument that Cub fans could probably have is if you knew that Carl Edwards Jr. was on a short leash, why did you start the inning with him when you were only going to give him one batter? And I know we talked a little bit about Edwards yesterday. I still think he's fantastic. I still think he's a key piece to that bullpen. But he comes in, he walks the first guy, and then you're turning around and you're going to the pen right away. You're bringing Jose Quintana in, a guy who is a starter, who's not used to coming in. You're not giving him a clean inning. And you heard, unfortunately, there Mike Montgomery, who I think Madden was wanting to ride for a couple innings, maybe even closing the thing out, going out, didn't happen last night. But so that was Joe Madden. Now listen to a very forlorn Dusty Baker here talking about some of the events that affected his ball club last night. And keep in mind that this is Dusty Baker, who has never won a World Series, who may have just seen his last opportunity. We don't know how much longer Dusty Baker is going to be at this, and I think maybe that's weighing in a little bit when you hear him. But here's Dusty Baker after last night's game.
We didn't play a very good game. We still battled to the end, and we had far too many walks. They end up scoring and haunting us, and that was probably one of the weirdest innings I've ever seen. You know, with the third strike and. And Bias hits Weeters on the backswing. It hit Batsman that I thought looked like a foul ball from over there. And, had a catcher's interference. You know, we gave away at least, three or four runs. And we had a lot of opportunities. I think we left 14 on base. And, this is a series of bad events. Then Lobe, he was safe, but then he came off the bag. It was just a series of bad events, and it really hurts, to lose like that, especially after what we went through all year long, and it was tough.
As Dusty also said, he was disappointed he didn't get to go back out to Dodger Stadium where he played as a member of the Dodgers and see his family, and a very personal loss for him last night. Matt in Fairfax on the Hurtine and Stocker text line says, I had to work at 5 a.m., didn't get to bed until 12:15. Brutal, but worth it. I stayed up until the very end, and I was thinking the exact same thing. I thought, I would like to have been in bed by about 10:30 last night, because when you got a one-year-old at home, you don't get much sleep. You have to take it when you can get it. And I thought, I cannot go to bed right now. I've got to see this thing through because it could be the last game of the season. And then with each passing inning, it looked less and less likely that the Cubs were going to be able to hold on to that game last night. And every time they would get a run, I knew in my heart of hearts they were going to need it. That run was going to come in big, and then ultimately it winds up being a one-run ball game. Again, we're going to be talking with Bill Plunkett of the Orange County Register at the top of the hour. We'll preview the National League Championship Series that gets underway tomorrow. More texts coming in on the Hurtine and Stocker text line as well. And we want to hear from you today. 319-366-1600. What'd you think of the game last night? And what do you think of the Cubs' chances moving forward into the National League Championship Series? I think the Dodgers wind up winning the series in five games. I think the Cubs will win one. I don't think they're going to win game one, especially when the pitching matchups, Clayton Kershaw and most likely John Lackey or Jose Quintana. Again, he only threw 12 pitches last night. Let's go to the phone lines, though. Bring in Chris in Marion. Chris, what's up?
Yeah, hey, guys. All I got to say is God must be a Cubs fan. I don't think I've ever seen some of the a lot of the crazy stuff happen in the Cubs' favor and still win a game 9-8. Unreal. Like you said, I'm thinking it's going to be the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series, which is kind of, I thought they were on a collision course for that at the All-Star break. So
one thing last night from the game that just absolutely had you scratching your head? One moment.
Well, the terrible command. I guess Dotson didn't do too bad, but you know, when you get into Edwards and Mike Montgomery and Wade Davis, all the balls. I mean, the command was terrible. I don't know what they can do for closers next year, but I think they need a closer.
Well, yeah, we appreciate it, Chris. They've got one. He's a free agent in Wade Davis, and I think at this point, I saw somebody last night said you basically have to put a blank check in front of him.
You do.
And beg him to stay there. You're absolutely right about the walks. Alex has the box score in front of him. 9 walks last night. That's not going to win you games, especially in the postseason.
I just go back to something that we talked about yesterday, Todd, and you talked about the fatalistic view of Cubs fans, and it's kind of in your DNA, but you talk about these two teams. Which team came in with more of the fatalistic view? The Washington Nationals.
And I said yesterday, I thought most of, if not all of, the pressure was on Washington.
And it was. It proved.
And it looked a little like that. The game, I thought, man, it was going to be tight going, and then when Scherzer comes in and the runs start mounting, and I'm thinking, man, I did not read this game correctly. But Washington is the team that had all of the pressure. That city, as a sports town, is right up there with Cleveland and some of the other municipalities that have been snake-bitten for the most part, if you take the Cavaliers out now in recent memory with Cleveland. But the Nationals and the Redskins and the Wizards, we talked about all of this stuff yesterday on the program, and you could just see it when they would do a cutaway shot to the people in the stands. And it was like, Cub fans have been there before. It's in our DNA. We were waiting for the last shoe to fall, and Nationals fans were waiting for the last shoe to drop. And then all of a sudden, through all of this craziness, it comes down to Wade Davis against Bryce Harper, the way that you absolutely wanted it to be. Didn't necessarily follow the greatest trajectory to get there. But you had Bryce Harper against Wade Davis to decide it all, and that was baseball in a nutshell. Now, you made a great point off the air. The turning point, I think you and I both agree on this. Adam Lind comes in to pinch hit. The Nationals have a ton of momentum going, and it was first pitch, right?
Yes.
Grounds into a double play.
It was first and second. He grounds into a double play. Whoever was after him in the order eventually drove in a run with an RBI, but that was it was Taylor, of course, but that was an opportunity for them to get something going. He swings at a first pitch when Davis is really laboring to, I don't think he had his best stuff last night, but he was going to get through as much as he could, and he ended up closing the door. But I thought that was a huge play in the game, and there were so many where you just, so many plays and occurrences in that game that you forget about, and you go back and you watch it and you say, I forgot about that, but that was a big momentum change in the game, and it was just so crazy that they just kept piling up and piling up. And that fifth inning was the worst inning that the Nationals have probably played all year, and it eventually cost them.
Matt Wieters is a tremendous defensive catcher, and he had probably his worst defensive night of the year last night. Max Scherzer is a Cy Young Award winner, comes in relief, and is not sharp. John on 380 on the Hertine and Stocker text line, 36 years as a Cubs fan, it never changes. It is torture. We've got to step aside, take a quick break. We come back. Kyle Mann, our producer, is going to have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Love it or leave it on the way here in hour number one as well. Keep it here to KGYM. Back with more after this.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks!
Cheer on the black and gold in your black and gold from BravoSportsMarketing.com. BravoSportsMarketing.com has everything you need as a true Hawkeye fanatic. Game day apparel, football ticket packages, Hawkeye posters, and the popular America Needs Farmers gear. Get your hands on the new Fight for Iowa logo tees, available in black or gold. You'll definitely want one for the blackout game against Ohio State. BravoSportsMarketing.com also has game tickets to all home Iowa games. If you're heading to Northwestern, get your tickets right now for the Game Day Hawkeye Huddle tailgate party. And BravoSportsMarketing.com is the only place you'll find Hawkeye Village ticket and tailgate packages, including your game ticket, tailgate-style buffet, musical entertainment, and more. Hawkeye Village packages currently remain available for all home games. Get them now. BravoSportsMarketing.com. Over 20 years of authentic Hawkeye gear for serious Hawkeye fans.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
See, Alex, because it's Friday the 13th.
Ah.
Have you ever watched any of the movies?
I have.
Okay.
I have, actually.
I know
it's surprising.
A roommate of mine, it actually is a little bit surprising. You don't strike me as the horror movie.
Not actually a huge horror movie fan, but I have seen some of the Friday the 13th movies.
My roommate in college, a big fan every year. Not necessarily even around Halloween, but she had them all on DVD. That and Nightmare on Elm Street. I think I'm probably getting the two confused. That's Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees. Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn. But there's a third wheel.
But not TBS.
It's not very funny. Yeah, the lawyers won't let us use that one. We do have a third wheel, though. It's Kyle Mann, our producer. He's back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and he's ready to bring you your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The University of Iowa Gold Squad won Game 2 yesterday at the Black and Gold World Series at Duane Banks Field, 7-6 to force a Game 3 being played today. Senior Tyler Cropley provided a sack fly in the 10th inning for a walk-off win after trailing 6-1 early in the game. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders will have their home opener tomorrow night against the Omaha Lancers. The Lancers are 0-1 on the young season, the Rough Riders 1-1, and you can catch that game yourself if you want at 7:05 tomorrow at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, it's Friday, and that means high school football. Scott Unash is out at Marion on the call as the Indians host West Delaware. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And our second game is a big one in Iowa City. Alex Kuhn will be on the call as Iowa City West hosts Linmar. A win for the Trojans tonight would lock up the District 8 title, and you can hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. When those games wrap up, keep it here on KGYM, and Jeff Downing will get you caught up on the action from around the state on the High School Scoreboard Show. Iowa's on a bye week, so there's no Before the Boom tomorrow, but we will have the Cyclone pregame show on the main gym beginning at 9 o'clock. And for anybody wondering, we will carry both Cubs-Dodgers games this weekend, Saturday on all three frequencies and Sunday on 1600 AM, and we'll also have the Yankees and Astros tomorrow on the North and South gyms.
Glad you mentioned the Cyclones and Kansas, Kyle, because of the bad weather that has come through. The Cyclones have announced that the grass parking lots are going to be closed for tomorrow's game. So if you traditionally make your way to Ames from eastern Iowa and you park on one of the grass lots, and that's quite a bit of the parking there, those lots will be closed tomorrow. So keep that in mind as you make your way to Jack Trice Stadium. You and I on the road this weekend as well. They're going to be taking on South Dakota State. Talked with Gary Rima on Wednesday to get you ready for that matchup. If you missed it, you can check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. While you're there, make sure you're voting in the poll question as well. We want to know at this point, with four teams remaining, who your preferred World Series matchup would be. Dodgers and Astros still winning the voting. Emil's Hideaway's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire will continue with Love It or Leave It when we return to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Stop on in, get your weekend started right, and maybe catch Game 1 of the American League Championship Series tonight between the Astros and the Yankees. Back with more after this.
ESPN Radio and ESPN2. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Yankees and Astros open up the American League Championship Series tonight at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Dallas Keuchel pitches for the Stros. He has a 1.24 career ERA against New York, the best of any active pitcher. While Masahiro Tanaka works for the Yankees, he has a 10.38 ERA against Houston, his highest against any opposing team. Every game of the postseason is on ESPN Radio. Our coverage of Game 1 starts at 7 Eastern. Tomorrow, it's Game 1 for the Cubs and Dodgers in the NLCS. The Cubs took a little extra time to get to Los Angeles. Their overnight flight from Washington had to land in Albuquerque this morning because of a medical issue involving a family member. The Raiders will play their home game against the Chargers in Oakland as scheduled on Sunday. There were discussions about moving the game due to air quality issues caused by wildfires. Chargers rookie wideout Mike Williams is listed questionable for Sunday's game against the Raiders, but Williams says he'll make his NFL debut, returning from a disc injury in his back.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Join the Coach's Corner Sports Pub and Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub for their annual golf classic tomorrow at Finkbine Golf Course. This two-person shamble tees up with a 10 a.m. shotgun start. Plus, there'll be food, drinks, prizes, a live and silent auction, and music after. Sign up today at Coach's Corner Sports Pub on Mormon Truck Boulevard or Carl and Ernie's on Highway 1 in Iowa City. Brought to you by Budweiser, 7G Distributing, Zephyr Printing and Design, BillionAuto.com, Two Rivers Bank, and your favorite Linksters here at KGYM.
Back to the Todd Bravo Camp Show, right here on KGYM.
Welcome back in the Coach's Corner stop on the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire is underway till 7 o'clock tonight. Todd Bravo Camp alongside Alex Kuhn. LinderTire.com, if you're in the market for new tires or just need your vehicle checked out, you can bring it to one of their locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. Linder Tire, happy to have them sponsoring the road trip, and probably a good idea to check the treads on those tires with winter right around the corner. I saw you throw me under the bus last night on Facebook.
Just trying to get as many votes as possible. You know,
and you know what?
There's a different audience on Twitter as there is on Facebook. So
I was schooled last night. Apparently a lot more people out there do not like thinking of Christmas as being right around the corner. I thought for sure, oh, this is about as neutral ground as one could possibly stand on to just say, acknowledge that Christmas is near. But no, we are parsing the words of every take, not just political, not just sports, everything right down to is Christmas around the corner now becomes an issue where you are either on this side or on that side. And I found out last night, judging by the response, that I may be on the minority side of that argument.
Yes, a little bit. We actually had a little bit of a fight on my Facebook wall. Not myself, not you, but two people.
I noticed that. I was like, okay, guys.
We got really mad at each other. I'm like, guys, this is not that big of a topic. You can all relax. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Bill Plunkett of the Orange County Register is going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk National League Championship Series, which gets underway at Chavez Ravine tomorrow night. Jack Dom will join us at 5:30. We'll talk a little more baseball with him. And then tonight during the big hour, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com and I will be joined by defensive lineman Drew Ott, the former Hawkeye, will stop by to give us an update on what he's up to these days. We were going to talk with Ron Caluzzi today. He's going to be on the program next week, so a good timing talking with Ron Caluzzi as Iowa has some punting issues. We'll find out what he thinks about that next week on the program. But right now, I do love it or leave it, don't we?
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Alex, we haven't really talked about this big story today. The NCAA found no infractions, nothing wrong at the University of North Carolina. So the NCAA will never fully recover from this.
Let's just start with what happened, what's been unfolding in college basketball over, we'll call it the past month. Millions of dollars have been going from third-party shoe companies to high school athletes, high school recruits. And the only way that anybody found out about it was because the FBI investigated it and said basically that the NCAA was not going to be a part of it, be a part of the investigation. They didn't even tell the NCAA that they were investigating because, in my opinion, they were wondering if the NCAA might tip the schools off. That came to mind when I first saw the fact that the FBI told the NCAA, basically never told the NCAA they were investigating. So they find all these improprieties going on in college basketball. And during that time, I kept saying, the NCAA still hasn't ruled on Baylor, and they still haven't ruled on the University of North Carolina. And today, they have. They ruled that the University of North Carolina did nothing wrong. They will serve no punishment for 18 years of fraudulent classes that were predominantly set up for athletes. Over 1,000 athletes in the University of North Carolina sports programs took these fraudulent classes and they counted as part of their grades. That it's just absolutely unbelievable to me because you look back at USC. USC got 2 years probation and is still recovering because they might have known that Reggie Bush and his mom accepted improper benefits from a booster. You look at a school like Colorado who got 2 years probation because they didn't charge walk-ons enough for meals. And North Carolina, who for 18 years sent 1,000 athletes through these phony classes, comes out unscathed. It's absolutely unbelievable to me. And I love this. The NCAA will never fully recover because this reaffirms just how useless of a governing body they are.
Number two.
Phil Parker talking numbers, Todd.
We heard Phil Parker on Wednesday talking about a lot of different numbers. And at the time, it didn't really register with me, and then I started noticing that people had picked up on talking about very, very arcane or specific statistics about yardage given up on percentage plays here and this down and that down and what's your average and Iowa's 0.5 above this or 0.4 below that, and I thought, I don't know. I think sometimes we get a little bit too dialed in on numbers in this day and age. And I think the only number that Iowa fans care about right now is the number in the win column and the number in the loss column. And so you can parse things any way you want. But here we sit during the bye week for the Hawkeyes, looking ahead to Evanston and Northwestern next weekend. And I think numbers be damned. This team has some things to work on, and that's what I give Phil credit and Brian Ferentz both credit for, is when they stood up at the podium on Wednesday, they both admitted that. This Hawkeye team is not in perfect shape right now. They're going to continue to work better, but the only number I think people really care about are wins and losses. So all of those little statistics, metrics, however you want to describe them, they're nice, but I don't think they tell you much about this football team.
Number three.
The Game 5 Lava Lamp.
Todd, did you ever have a lava lamp as a kid?
I did not. I kind of always wanted one. You know, you get to college and you think, oh, that'd be really cool in the dorm room. Everybody,
absolutely,
I think, thinks that. But no, I never had one. They're supposed to be dangerous, right? They can overheat and blow up?
Yeah, they can overheat. They can blow up. They're full of hot wax. There's nothing really impressive about them. But when I was a kid, I had this lava lamp that I was mystified by. From age 5 to age 10, I looked at this thing, and it just blew my mind. Sitting in my room late at night, the colors, the wax floating through whatever liquid is inside this cone-shaped glass fixture. And my parents, throughout the years, are explaining me what the lava lamp is. It's not really that impressive when you think about it. And I got the same feeling while watching Game 5 last night. The lack of pitching, the poor management of the bullpen from both sides, the terrible fielding, the umpiring, the replay questions, the length of the game, everything was subtracting from that game, yet I couldn't look away. I had no dog in that fight. I had no vested interest in that game, but I couldn't turn it off. I couldn't go to sleep until I knew what was going to happen because, like you said, Todd, during the playoffs, a lot of times chaos ensued. It did not ensue early in that series. It finally did in Game 5, and it was I've never seen a baseball game quite like that. And it wasn't really for the quality of it because there were a lot of detractors to last night's game. So I love the fact that this game reminded me of that stupid lava lamp that I used to look at as a kid.
Number four.
Hangovers exist in football, but not this week in Ames.
You always worry about a team coming off an emotional high of either beating a rival or pulling a titanic upset. And Iowa State certainly did the latter last weekend by going to Norman and beating Oklahoma for the first time since 1990. They did it as a 31-point underdog. Normally, I would think, man, whoever is playing Iowa State this weekend is in a really good spot. But the team on Iowa State's schedule this weekend is Kansas. And Kansas is in terrible shape. Usually is. But they're in especially bad shape this year. I believe in hangovers. It's why I think Minnesota has a great chance to beat Michigan State this weekend at TCF Bank Stadium in the Twin Cities. But I don't think there's going to be any hangovers in Ames outside of the folks who are in the tailgating lots. Just not the grass lots because, again, they're going to be closed tomorrow. But the only hangovers you got to worry about in Ames tomorrow are the ones that you're going to bring on tailgating.
Number five.
Luke Kuechly. Is it worth it?
I love watching Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers play football. I think he's one of the best defensive players when he's healthy in the National Football League, and I love the game of football. But the injuries that he has sustained in the last 3 years have me questioning whether I really want to see Luke Kuechly back on an NFL field. He went through concussion protocol last night. He is concussed for the third time in the last 3 years. Heaven knows how many concussions he had sustained before his NFL career or early on in his NFL career or in college or in high school and in this day and age. You just can't – it's hard for me to look and say, wow, I would really love for him to come back. And this is a guy who the NFL really needs to be playing, but after three concussions in the last 3 years, you really have to start thinking, if you're Luke Kuechly, is it worth it to come back and risk my future for this game? He's made plenty of money already. He could ride off into the sunset, and that's probably something that he's going to have to consider after yet another setback and after yet another head injury last night on Thursday Night Football. So I leave this, but you really have to, if you're him, you have to start thinking about it.
Number six.
Joe Maddon's bullpen usage bullpen usage, Todd.
Definitely going to leave this. I'm joining the growing chorus of Cub fans that are complaining about Joe Maddon's bullpen usage. I understand last night is an all-hands-on-deck situation, But I also understand, I do believe in Joe Maddon's philosophy of when you have a young player, especially a young pitcher like Carl Edwards Jr., you go back to the well with him, because I understand how he approaches psychology and the mental side of things. And you don't want a young player to think that your manager doesn't have confidence or is giving up on you. But start that inning clean with Quintana last night. Don't pitch Edwards unless you absolutely have to. But Joe tried to stick to the script of they've got a narrow lead. You go to Edwards, who's been one of your reliable guys all season long, and at that point, trouble ensued. You had Mike Montgomery, who Joe Maddon, you heard him say earlier this hour from the clip that we played from the postgame news conference, he expected more outs out of Mike Montgomery last night. And then once things started to go sideways, that's a Fran McCaffreyism. It is Iowa Media Day coming up on Monday. Once things started to go sideways, then it was going to get really hard for the Cubs to recover from that. And you made the unprecedented decision to bring in Wade Davis and go for a 7-out save, the old Goose Gossage Sparky Lyle, and he got it done. And it wasn't easy and it wasn't pretty, and I don't think there was a Cub fan or a Nationals fan that wasn't on the edge of their seat the entire time. But it's almost as if the Cubs won that game last night in spite of Joe Maddon, who's a very good manager, but has made some questionable decisions this year. And I'm just not ready to be down on him as much as some other fans are. He won the Cubs a World Series for the first time in 108 years last year. Again, give him a little slack in the rope.
Number seven.
Kenny Chill.
So there's this quarterback named Kenny Hill. And let's go back to 2014, where he's playing for Texas A&M, has a Thursday night matchup week one against South Carolina, throws for a bazillion yards. And people are jumping on the Heisman train as a redshirt freshman the year after Johnny Manziel had left the program for the NFL. And things went downhill from there, no pun intended. Texas A&M got blown out by Alabama, and Kevin Sumlin replaced Kenny Hill with Kyle Allen, who now is at Houston. And you just knew the entire time that this was too good to be true. Texas A&M didn't have a good enough running game. They didn't have a good enough defense. And this was not going to last. But Kenny Hill is back, and he's at TCU. And during his time at Texas A&M, he wanted to promote his brand. He wanted to give himself a nickname. It was Kenny Thrill or Kenny Trill. But I got a better nickname for him. He's playing for the number six team in the country. They're 5-0. He's completing 69% of his passes. He's not throwing interceptions. He's managing the game. Let's call him Kenny Chill. And he's flying completely under the radar, despite the fact that he was on a better team than he was at Texas A&M when he was getting all the Heisman accolades. So, quietly, he's been one of the better stories in college football, and he is on a team that's competing for a college football playoff spot and a Big 12 championship spot as well. So I love this.
Number eight.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. It is the opening opening night. They played two games already. Tomorrow night is the home opener for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. That's right. They're taking on the Omaha Lancers, not the Nebraska team that I would like to see them open the season with, but I want to take an opportunity to wish the Riders the best in the upcoming season, at least as far as the home games go. And if you're looking for something to do tonight, tomorrow night, I should say, 7:05 face-off at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena between the Riders and the Lancers, and hopefully they are a little bit better on the ice than they were last season. I think it'd be pretty hard to top last year from that standpoint, but good luck going out to the Riders tomorrow night.
Number nine.
You know nothing about soccer.
I was told this yesterday, and I absolutely love this because I don't. But what I do know.
Who told you that?
Somebody on the text line.
Oh, okay.
I love this. I don't know anything about soccer, but I'm going to make another analogy. The USA soccer is very similar to
lava lamp.
To UCLA football.
Okay. Well,
UCLA football, I think the fans are okay with 8-4. And soccer in this country, I think fans are okay with being mediocre. The United States soccer team is not a story unless they catastrophically fail. If they make it to the World Cup and maybe draw a game or or knocked out in pool play, nobody bats an eyelash, because I think mediocrity in soccer is almost accepted, and there's somewhat of a weird, I guess, pride in that fact from a lot of people that USA is not the best in the world at soccer. So I think that that's all that people ask for. This loss to Trinidad and Tobago that will keep them out of the World Cup was devastating, because once every 4 years, that sport is on the world stage, and it really doesn't matter whether they win a game, whether they tie or draw a game, I should say, or whether they lose every single game, as long as they make it. Very similar to UCLA. UCLA is a program who, as long as they're 8-4, nobody in LA really bats an eyelash at what they do, because they are a small fish in a big pond, very similar to USA soccer. So I love this fact that that I know nothing about soccer, but I do know that the United States soccer team should make the World Cup.
If you don't love it, leave it.
I think we lost number 10 there, but number that was a 10. Throwaway.
Friday the 13th, Tom.
Friday the 13th, that's today, and I was completely unaware of it until I saw it referenced last night, because the Cubs-Nationals game was going on beyond midnight on the East Coast, and Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post, who was on the program with us to preview the series, made the point that it is now Friday the 13th. And of course, if you're superstitious, you're probably not a big fan of doing anything today, but I've never really been the superstitious type, says the guy who won't throw out the shoes that he bought at the Cubs convention 3 years ago when they've made the postseason every single year. They're worn out, they're falling apart, and here I am still wearing them. So 4:55, we'll step aside, we'll take just a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you, and then at the 5 o'clock, the onset of the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk National League Championship Series with Bill Plunkett of the Orange County Register. Plenty more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn to come after this.
I ride my bike to work, pack an organic lunch with produce I buy locally. It's all good, but face it, green living can cost a little more. Here I am saving the planet, and my wife hassles me because we don't have savings for a rainy day. So I go to Dupaco for a free money makeover. They recycle all my loans into one easy payment that saves enough green to fertilize my savings account and even help me kick a little back to my community. Dupaco's cooperative thinking puts money to work locally by providing friends and neighbors low-cost loans, funding for small businesses, and more. With Dupaco's sustainable money methods, you can save the planet, save your marriage, and still save a little extra for fundraisers in your neighborhood.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
Dupaco Community Credit Union. Federally insured by NCUA.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Ensure.
Trust.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
4:57, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight, and high school football. Let's close out hour number one the way that we normally do. We send it back to Kyle Mann on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The University of Iowa's Gold Squad won Game 2 yesterday at the Black and Gold World Series at Duane Banks Field 7-6 to force a Game 3 being played today. Senior Tyler Cropley provided a sack fly in the 10th inning for a walk-off win after trailing 6-1 early in the game. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders will have their home opener tomorrow night against the Omaha Lancers. The Lancers are 0-1 in the young season, the Rough Riders 1-1, and you can catch that game if yourself if you want at 7:05 tomorrow at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, it's Friday, and that means high school football. Scott Unash is out at Marion on the call as the Indians host West Delaware. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Our second game is a big one in Iowa City. Alex Kuhn will be on the call as Iowa City West hosts Linmar. A win for the Trojans tonight would lock up the District 8 title, and you can hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. When those games wrap up, keep it here on KGYM, and Jeff Downing will get you caught up on the action from around the state on the High School Scoreboard Show. Iowa's on a bye week, so there's no Before the Boom tomorrow, but we will have the Cyclone pregame show on the main gym beginning at 9 o'clock. And for anybody wondering, we will carry both Cubs-Dodgers games this weekend, Saturday on all three frequencies, and Sunday on 1600 AM. We'll also have the Yankees-Astros tomorrow on the North and South gyms.
Speaking of the Cubs, we are going to break down the National League Championship Series with the Dodgers with Bill Plunkett of the Orange County Register. He's going to join us next. 1 hour in the books, two to go. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire, coming your way from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City today. Back with more of the show after this.
This week, tune in to the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finey. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some of your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the